Testing. Can y'all hear me? Okay. Cause I'm kind of loud, so it don't take much. But anyway, first I'd like to give praise and honor to my Lord and Savior, who I choose to call Jesus Christ. Then I'd like to thank the visionary of this house, all the ministers and deacons, and you guys that make up the congregation for inviting us in your house. A little bit about my story. I'm not going to go too deep into addiction, because we know that addiction is a baffling economy enemy that a lot of us face. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what got me here and what I'm doing, why I'm here. I was born in a family of, my mother had four children. I was born in a house with my mother and my grandmother. There was no father in the house. It was just me, my two sisters, and my brother. I am the third child. I am 57 years young. And I am probably the oldest that at No Longer Bound right now. And it is an honor and a privilege to be at No Longer Bound. But my life started out pretty, it was normal. You couldn't have told me that my family was dysfunctional because we didn't have a father. Couldn't have told me that because it was so much love in our house that we didn't, you know, you can't miss what you never had. So I never had it, so I didn't miss it. Until I got older and started playing sports, and then it became a problem for me. But before then, this is how we grew up. We grew up, like some of y'all probably remember the show, the Waltons. Well, my family was like the Waltons, you know. We ate dinner together. We went to bed together. And we said good night together, you know. So that's how it was at my house. So it was a lot of love. And but as I grew up, my older brother is about 5.5 years older than me. So he left off going to college when I was about 12 years old. So at that age, I'm in the house with all women. So, you know, I'm thinking I'm the man now. So, but had no idea how to be a man. I growed up in a rough neighborhood. I come out of Gaston, Alabama. I growed up in the projects, you know, and people used to come to our house, and my grandmother, they would say, "This don't look like no project house." And my grandmother used to say, "It ain't no project house. This is a home. See, wherever there's love, there's a home." So there's a lot of love in the house, so I'm truly grateful for that. I grew up, I was in the Boy Scouts until I was 16 years old. I made it up to Eagle Scout, and I wanted to stay in the Boy Scout, but there was a lot of peer pressure on me because I was a football player, too. So all the guys would make fun of me on Saturday instead of hanging out with them. I would go to the Boy Scout meeting, and so finally, I let that peer pressure pressure me and quitting something that I love. And I'm sure somebody can relate to that in here. So anyway, I played high school football and high school basketball. I was pretty good. I made it to a junior college basketball team, and I always had a finger. I always had a problem with my middle finger. I broke my middle finger at the age of 8 years old when I was in the first grade. And it's funny how God worked, because during this time that I was going to the doctor off and on, I've been going to the doctor ever since I was probably from the first grade to a senior in high school for the same injury, and they never could find out what was going on with it. But it's real funny, because when I went to the doctor's office the first time, there was a little book in the doctor's office that always caught my attention. And it was a little blue book, and it was called Bible Stories. And I was so fascinated. I would read it, and at the age of 8, I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the Bible story. I fell in love with it. And there was a character in the Bible that I say I want to be like when I get big. But boy, I didn't know what I was saying when I was saying what I was saying. But this guy's name was Moses, you know. I could relate with Moses because I stutter. You know, so y'all might hear me say something funny and just laugh it off and keep listening. But anyway, when I was young, I stuttered real bad, and I didn't pronounce words good, and I said, I can't never be like him. But then as I kept reading the story, I found out Moses had a stuttering problem too. I said, okay, now I can relate back to this guy, you know. But anyway, as I got older, and I finished high school, and went on to college, but I had a bad attitude, you know. I didn't know how to follow directions. So anyway, I ended up cutting my basketball career short because I didn't like what the coach said, and I quit the team. So anyway, I ended up I went to college and everything, and at this time, I met my high school sweetheart. We was together, and unfortunately, we didn't do like the biblical way. We had children before we got married, and so I got a set of twin girls, and last Saturday was their birthday. They turned 36 years old, and I have four grandchildren who I'm truly blessed with. But at this time, I'm going to back up a little bit because introduce you to my addiction. See, my addiction was always with me. At the age of 13, I tried wine for the first time and loved the way it made me feel. You know, most addicts, we do what we do because we want to feel different. Something make us feel some kind of way that we're running from. So at this time, I'm 20 years old now. Now my father, after all these years, decided he want to come in my life. Now, when I was a kid, I used to always say, man, I don't want nothing to do with him, and if he ever come in my life, I'm going to da-da-da-da-da, I'm going to tell him this and all that. So one day, I was knocking at the door, and my father was at the door, and I was speechless. I knew who he was because he looked just like me. See, I always wanted to know what I looked like, why I do the things I do, why I act the way I act. So anyway, me and my father, he was in town for a week, and every day that he came, I found out that I had four other brothers and sisters, two sisters and two brothers. So every day that he came, one of them wanted to come and meet their new brother. So it was fun. So we never did have that chance to have that father and son talk why you weren't here. The questions I wanted to ask never was there. So anyway, we stayed in touch for a whole year, and he planned to come down the next summer. And during the summer and all the during the rest of the year, we would talk on the phone at least about two or three times a month. And he sent my wife a Christmas gift and sent my kids Christmas gift. And he told me, he said, I'm bringing yours when I come back down the next summer. He lives in California. So he said, I'm bringing yours when I come back. So we keeping in touch. So 2 weeks before time for him to come, he's working a lot of overtime, and he's doing this because his wife was having a family reunion on her end. So she was, they was preparing for the family reunion, but he was going to come down a week early to spend time with me so we can have that father and son talk, and we can kind of, you know, iron some stuff out. I was at the point where, so I'm preparing for him. So I knew that he liked to fish. So I don't update my fishing gear, you know. I'm trying to act like I'm Bill Dance or somebody, you know. So y'all know I'm old. I mean, these young folks don't know nothing about Bill Dance. But but anyway, so I found out that he liked to cook out. So I done went and got meat, stacked the barbecue grill up and everything. I mean, I'm just going all out. So he was doing the same thing because he was working double shift to come down. But, you know, I want to share something with you. When we got an opportunity to do something today, don't put it off for tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. My father worked real hard, and a week before time for him to come, my father died in a car wreck. And my world was shattered. I was hurt. And I asked God, why? All these years, this is what I wanted. That was the missing piece in my life, I thought. I asked God, wow, I got no answer. But God gave me a scripture, and while these few minutes I'm going to try to share, you're going to see ways why God gave me the scripture. But God gave me the scripture, and he said, he was talking to Simon Peter when he gave this, but he said, put your name in there. He said, Donald, Satan had desire to sift you as wheat, but I had prayed for you that thy faith faileth not. But when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. Little did I know that I was finna go through a roller coaster life. So after my father had died, I became very bitter. My alcohol drinking had increased. I became very bitter, real mean to my wife, just kind of checked out of the marriage, you know, and she had all she could take, you know. So we ended up divorcing. Right after we divorced, I found out that she was pregnant with my son. Okay, and I'm like, wow, okay, got a son coming. Ooh, I could be something that I didn't have. I can give my son something I didn't have. My son came into the world and lived for 3 days, and my son died. And here it is again. I'm like, okay, God, what's going on? So my story is built around a lot of grief. End up getting a divorce anyway. My son died. Now I'm beginning to go deeper down in my addiction. Some kind of way I come back up and I roll back out. I join a good church and start going to church and start trying to follow God's ways. So I meet another lady and I get married. And man, I'm in love. I'm thinking, this is the one, you know. I marry her. We stayed married for 5 years. She got diagnosed with breast cancer. 9 months later, she died. My life is back going down the spiral again. See, remember I told you that I did stuff that made me feel good. So I went back to my best friend. That was alcohol. Because, see, the alcohol and the drug understand what I was going through. Because I couldn't talk to you guys. You guys weren't going to understand what I was going through. And then my ego and my pride wouldn't let me do it anyway. Because when you ask me how I'm doing, oh, I'm good, you know. I'm strong. I'm okay. But deep down, I was dying inside, you know. And I was crying out like a little boy, but I didn't want nobody to see it. 5 months later after that, my grandmother died, the one that raised me. And that was the straw that broke the camel back for me. I was done with God. I said, look, dude, you leave me alone, I leave you alone. And don't bother me, I won't bother you. But anyway, y'all know how the Lord is. He allowed me to run my race. He allowed me to run my course. 10 years out there, I'm in the wilderness, doing what I want to do. Trying to die, but couldn't die. Too scared to put the gun in my mouth and pull the trigger. That's what I tried to do one time, but I said, nah, that's too messy. I don't want to do that. So I thought I would overdose and try to do it like that. Couldn't do it like that neither. But anyway, that was one night, though, in 2004. That was one night at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was at my wit's end. I was done. And I did have a 38, and I had it in my mouth. And right before I got ready to pull the trigger, there was a song came on the radio, and it was the name of the song was about, I almost gave up, but God came to save me. And I listened to that song, and I just started crying and boo-hooing. Then that's when God gave me that scripture again. It came back. He said, Satan had desired to sip you as wheat, but I had prayed for you, Don, that faith. See, I didn't understand the thing that Jesus was trying to say. He said, I prayed for you. See, anybody else could have prayed for me. It might not work. But he said, I prayed for you that thy faith fell or not. Why he said that to me, I didn't understand. Because then I started reading and searching the scripture and it's saying, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Can't please God without faith. God didn't say you had to have great faith done. He said, you just have a little bit of faith. Just believe in me. I hung on. Now, things got better. Here you go again. I'm a roller coaster. I'm up. Got good. So I'm living my life. So I moved to Georgia. And the Lord said, hey, I want you to go to Georgia. I want you to be close to your siblings. So and my mom wanted me here, too. I'm a mama's boy. So me and my mom have a great relationship. I'm able to tell her everything that goes on. So I'm going to try to wind this up, mom, because I'm a... Because I go on and on, y'all. But anyway, my mom had told me, so I came home, and everything going good again. I got a great job. I'm in a good relationship again. So everything is going good. So all of a sudden, my mom got diagnosed with dementia. So we had to take the car away. But my mom is one of these people that exercise, and she walked every day. So the doctor said, well, it's not progressing. Whatever she's doing, let her keep doing it. But you know, the enemy always gonna come at you. So my mom had a stroke, November 2019, she had a stroke, a brain stroke, and this was right when the pandemic started. And we could not, and she lived in LaGrange, Georgia. They had to airlift her from LaGrange to Grady Hospital. We could not go in and see her. She's in ICU. And the only thing they told us, the only way we would be able to see her, unless she was finna go home or she had to have surgery. Well, by God's grace, neither one of them happened. It was hard not to break into the hospital and sit there with my mom, but I had to trust God. Here where God began to start dealing with my heart. See, every time I tried to do what I want to do, it never worked. I learned something during this time my mama was going through this. See, it's easy to believe in God. Satan believe in God. The demon believe in God. But following God and trusting God is a whole different ball game. It become real then. See, when I walk by faith and not by sight, I don't know what I'm finna step into, but God said, hey, I just need you to be still. So it goes on, so my mom had that, and now her disease have, by her having that stroke, it just progresses. It just blows. It took it to what they say the final stage. So at this time right now, I think the next month later, my half-brother who I met, and me and him became a real good friend. We talked just about, he always called on me because he said I was his spiritual advisor. So anyway, he would call me, and anyway, but he died. He got hit by a bus. And man, at this time, I'm back on the sauce. I had to go back to my best friend. God, you let me down. You say you was my friend. Where you at? Where are you? Because I'm looking and I can't find you. But God allowed me to continue to go. And the Lord said, he came to me one night. Now, at this time, I done reached bottom. I done lost the relationship I had because of my addiction. I done separated myself from my friends. I done separated myself from my family. I don't want nobody around me. I was just going to work, and I was living in my car for 2 months. I thought I was doing okay because I could feed myself because I had a job and I had a vehicle. I thought I was doing okay. The disease had made me think, oh, you all right, man. You ain't that bad. You're doing a lot better than other people. See, I was comparing myself to other addicts. And God began to start like, that's not it. So anyway, to fast forward a little bit, one night I prayed. It's like I came to myself. And I said, God, it's got to be something better than this. Because if it's not, kill me now. Let me die. Because I don't want to live no more. And the Lord said, are you ready? Are you ready to stop trying to fix yourself? Are you ready, Don? And I said, yes. So I knew I needed help. So I started reaching out. And that was a hard thing for me to do, to pick that phone up and tell another man that I need your help. Because where I grew up at, man don't ask for help. You're handling your own problem. You deal with it the best way you can, and you'll come out. Well, I wasn't coming out. I was getting deeper and deeper. And I learned that when I think I'm at my bottom, there is a trap door up under that one that I can fall deeper. And I was falling fast. But God sent somebody in my life, and they said, hey, I know a place, man, called No Longer Bound. I said, yeah? Tell me about it. Because, see, I'm doing my own research, too. So I'm going back to Birmingham, Alabama, where I know it's a 30-day program, you know. And they got you 30 days, and you go into transition and start working. That's my plan. I already got the plan, right? So he said, oh, tell me about this program. He said, well, it's a year-long program. I said, I ain't doing no year. I don't need no year. But you know, but he said, listen, don't you listen. So I listened to everything he had to say and da-da-da-da-da. So still, it's 2 weeks before this time, he gave me this news, and I'm wrestling on it. Then I made another prayer to God. I said, you know, God, I'm tired of trying to tell you how to fix me. I'm tired of telling you what you need to do to help me. See, I had to learn something. God didn't put me here for him to serve me. He put me here that I might serve him. See, sometimes we get this thing twisted, man. We thinking that God, hey, he supposed to do what I tell him to do. I want to go over here. I want to do that. It's not like that. He He didn't do that. So anyway, and that's how I was. I'm like, hey, yeah, this is what I want, God. Yeah, yeah. You say you'll give me my desires of my heart. But he said, first, if you seek me first in my righteousness. See, we forget about that part. The only thing we think about is, hey, what you going to give me? So anyway, so I'm at this point now. So I make a decision that I'm not going to go my way no more. So I told God, I say, so now, really, I'm daring God. Because the price to get in No Longer Bound was not in my budget. So I'm like, oh, I got you now. Yeah, I go. Don't tempt God. Don't play with God. You know, when you say yes, I'm ready, guess what God does? He opened the door to No Longer Bound. He closed the doors that I was trying to get to, but he opened up the door. Then he said, now what you gonna do? I said, you know what? I'm gonna be a man of my word, God. I'm gonna walk through the door. So when I came in No Longer Bound, I had my mind made up. I wasn't gonna try to tell help how to help. I wasn't finna try to rule my life anymore. That I was gonna follow God, not only with lip service, but with work. So I made a decision that no matter what it take, God, I'm gonna do this. So when I came down the hill at No Longer Bound, you hear the guy talking about the hill is famous. When you come down that hill, when I came down that hill, God said, now I need you to do something. If you really said you trust me, I need you to turn that car in. I done paid on my car for 3 years, and I never had a year and a half, and that car would have been mine. He said, I need you to quit that job that you've been working on for 5 years, and I need you to trust me. I said, give me a minute. I called the people, the owner, I called the bank. I said, come and get this car. I gave him No Longer Bound address. Come and get the car. I called my boss. I said, hey, how you doing? Look, I'm in trouble. I won't be back no more. I'll talk to you later. So then they found out where I was because there was no more secrets. See, the gig was up for me. It was up. So when I came in, I was ready. So now I came in. I'm working the program. 7 days later, I catch COVID. I get caught with COVID. I catch COVID, and I'm isolated, quarantined for 14 days. I get out of that. The devil's picking at me now. He's saying, man, a year gonna be a long time, but I done made my mind up. See, the devil done. See, one thing Satan can't do, he can't read your mind. He can throw fiery dots in your head. He only can read our action and what we do, but he can't read our mind. He don't know what's in my heart. See, he didn't know that I done made a deal with God, and I done told God, I'm yours. Unless death take me, then, you know what I'm saying? And then I told Satan, even if I die, I still win. See, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. For a man to die is for him to gain. So, devil, when you had me, you couldn't kill me, so you're lost now. So I made my peace with that. So here it is. I go now. I'm still having challenges, though. It ain't over. So I'm walking the walk. I'm walking around, you know, and come down the hill, come maybe about 3 months later, I catch pneumonia. That devil don't stop now. He don't stop. He gonna try you. See, when you say you a Christ follower, you just put a bullseye on your back. You just made the gates of hell your enemy. But it's okay, because I don't walk in fear today. See, today I don't fight with these, I fight on these. See, I won some battles with these, but I win some wars on these. So God is greater than anything that try to come up against me. So I catch pneumonia. Isolated again. I get real sick. Then, on top of that, I got COVID. Oh, man. Now the devil trying to put the fear back in me. He said, now, you know people that with pneumonia and COVID get on the machines and they die. I got you, boy, and I had to go back and tell him, man, do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And God had told me, you should live and not die. He told me in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thought I have of you, the thought of good and not of evil, the thought of prosper you and give you a good future. So I know it ain't over. Now, let me take you back to the scripture that I growed up with. See, The one where he said, when thou art converted, Don, strengthen thy brother. See, the key word was, I never knew what the word when was. See, when means it's going to happen. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. If I continue to walk in faith, it will happen. And it's happening right now. Because without the word of God, I would not be here. See, I had already gave up, but God didn't give up on me. See, when he died at Calvary, when he said, it is done, so he knew, when he looked down, he saw, oh, Don, boy, I got to die for you. You're going to do some stuff. You're going to mess up. You know what I'm saying? But he brought me through it, and I am so grateful to be here today. No Longer Bound had taught me how to walk by faith. No Longer Bound had taught me that even no matter what I went through, that my dreams wasn't shadow. No Longer Bound had gave me the courage to step out and go for it, you know. And I'm so grateful for you guys here at Midway. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your love, because you're helping people like me. You're helping people like me. You know, you makes me want to do what you do, you know. So, see, this thing is about, this thing is not about promotion. Now, we ain't trying to promote God. All we got to do is walk God. We let people see the work, what we do. So, I'm so grateful. I want to say one thing before I sit down. If everybody would just do something, I'm going to be bold standing. Everybody stand up and just grab the person's hand next to you. Let right now what we're doing, let this gathering right now represent what we can do together and not apart. Let us have a moment of silence for that alcoholic and addict that might be inside this room suffering, that's suffering quiet. And then for that alcoholic and addict that's suffering out there that might not never get this way of life, let us just have a moment of silence for them. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you this day with a humble heart and a bowed down head. Father, we come and say thank you right now for this gathering. Father, we come and say thank you for everything that you have done, from the dying on the cross to rising up with all power. God, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, you said that our testimony would be our test. And we thank you for the test. Even though sometimes, Lord God, it seems impossible, but you always showed up. You are on-time God. God, we thank you for everyone here today. We ask you to bless the families that's here today, Lord God. We ask that you continue, Lord God, to show yourself in our lives. Lord God, if there's anybody here today, Lord God, that do not know you as the Lord and Savior, God, I pray, Lord God, that you would prick the hearts of them, that they might cry out unto you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, when it's all said and done, we're going to be ever remindful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.